this is the kind of thing that doesn't happen very often, and it could really help take this franchise to another level.
The minor leagues are so overrated. Just look at Wyatt Langford right now. It is Baseball America prospect profile time. The Texas Rangers have two exciting rookies, one who was the star of the postseason at times for them in Evan Carter, and now he has a friend in the outfield slash DH, Wyatt Langford, Scotty Braun with J.J. Cooper and Carlos Collazo. So, J.J., Wyatt Langford gets called up to the show after really a minute in the minor leagues. He gets drafted last year, and here he is. And now people want to know if he can win Rookie of the Year because he had a dominant spring training.
I think you have to consider him one of the favorites. You've seen everything he's done so far. And the thing I do like about this, for one, he's not being asked to be a savior or turn around a franchise. It's like, oh, just step into the middle of the lineup for, oh yeah, the World Series champs. And he's doing that because every moment since he signed as a pro, he's hit. And he's hit for power and average. He gets on base. But they're also, the biggest question with him is how much defensive eye he's going to be going to have. We don't worry about that right now. This is a team of Evan Carter. This is a team with Leody Taveras. This is a team of Adolis Garcia. They're saying DH, play a little bit in the corners when we need it, but just go out and mash. And one thing that we can feel pretty comfortable about right now is Wyatt Langford can mash.
I mean, it speaks to how good he is offensively that he's being asked to come up and play an old man's position, which is DH. Typically, these young players are coming up because they're great athletes. They're going to add a lot defensively. Maybe you don't have a lot of pressure to hit. But Wyatt Langford is being asked, no, come hit right now. You're this good. I mean, last year in the draft, he quickly established himself as one of the very best offensive profiles in the entire draft class. Dylan Cruz maybe had more fame at the time. I think given what Wyatt Langford has done in his minor league debut in spring training, some of the home runs that you see him hit, just the tremendous raw power that he has, the torque he's able to get on the baseball while at the same time making excellent swing decisions, making a ton of contact. In the future, I think he's going to be a very good outfielder as well. I'll be curious how much playing time in the grass he gets. But to see him come up this rapidly just speaks to just how good he is as a hitter.
Well, let's get into this, JJ, from a development perspective. Is it good to have a guy who can play the outfield log significant DH time in the bigs? Or should the Rangers make a concerted effort to get him into the outfield? I don't want to say as much as possible, but pretty frequently, because you want him to get comfortable out there and he can handle it, obviously.
I think that they're going to pick their spots for it. I think absolutely you want to get him in the outfield some. You do not want him to become a long-term DH as one of the youngest players in the major leagues. That's not the path you have for him. Especially the crazy part of this is Wyatt Langford can run. This isn't a guy who's like a 30 runner and you say, oh, he's just going to be range limited. He just is still adjusting. This was a player who has moved probably as quickly, Carlos, as anyone I can think of from where he was coming into. It was that weird draft year coming out of high school, because he was a 2020 high school draftee, which meant that he wasn't a draftee because that was a 5-round draft. We didn't have him in the 500, but we did have notes on him. He was actually kind of part of that same class of the under-scouted like him and Evan Carter because they had the COVID year. But it's amazing to me, and you see it even more than I have, Carlos, how far he's come and how quickly he's come so far.
Yeah, absolutely. When he was in high school, there were a few scouts who saw him and they were kind of intrigued at the time with his hitting ability, but there were real questions about the body, actually, which is funny when you look at him now and he's just this monstrous physical athlete that's getting Mike Trout body comps. But at the time, he was maybe a little squattier, and there were questions about where he was going to play. He was a catcher in high school. People thought corner outfield. Then he goes to Florida. He really doesn't play much at all his freshman season. As a sophomore, he breaks out and has one of the best years in Gators history. And then he goes neck and neck with Dylan Cruz in the draft year, obviously. But his ability to hit this well this early after being really unheard of almost out of high school. Again, there were a few scouts that saw him, but not many people turned him in at the time. And again, comparing him to Dylan Cruz at the time was a day one talent who didn't have the greatest summer. And so he wound up going to LSU. Wyatt Langford was not at all on the radar at the same stage. And here Wyatt Langford is making his major league debut, opening camp with the World Series champion Rangers. So I think his hitting ability and his power, it has a chance to be among the very best of any prospect in the game. It's 70 raw power now. It's got a chance to be a plus hit tool. And the speed that you mentioned, JJ, one of the reasons he moved up draft boards really quickly was last fall, he was showing 70 grade run times. Now, we haven't seen that runtime consistently for him in game. And that's part of the reason that I would like to see him more in the outfield in the majors, because we really just don't have a great understanding of what kind of a defender he can be. I think he's a little raw there and he needs to develop. So I'm hopeful that he can get some time in there in addition to just mashing in the lineup.
So I've got a two-part question for you, Carlos, and that draft was so fresh. So first off, could he be the best player in the 2023 draft, which was really loaded at the top? And second of all, I've heard some around the Rangers organization say that he was number one on their draft board. It's probably not far-fetched to hear that, but I always wonder if they're truthful, because I've heard that about players that'll go ninth in a draft and like, we had him number one. I'm like, great, sure. And according to what? Did you tell me that a month before? You know, so I think this one's easier to understand, but do you believe them?
No, I absolutely do. And the reason I believe them is because prior to the draft, 2 or 3 months before, I had scouts reaching out to me and they're saying, hey, Dylan Cruz is like the famous guy. He was the consensus 1-1 entering the year. But Wyatt Langford might be just as good. I remember kind of comparing and contrasting them at the time. I think Langford had more accessible in-game power, and maybe you could feel a little bit more confident in Dylan Cruz's pure hitting ability at the time, just because he had a little bit longer of a track record. But even months before the draft happened, there were scouts who preferred Wyatt Langford just because of that physicality and power. We viewed it as a really elite class overall. The top five players, I think, were in their own tier. And then any of Paul Skeens, Dylan Cruz, or Wyatt Langford, you can make a very compelling case that any of those guys were number one. So I don't think it's hindsight bias or just seeing after the fact. I think it's very legitimate that if Wyatt Langford went 1-1, and even in our mock draft on draft day, we had Wyatt Langford going 1-1. So I don't think that's shocking at all.
And the thing that also, when you say that, Scott, I always think about is Mike Trout seemed to be second on a whole lot of boards for a guy who ended up going in the 25 range, 26 range, if I remember right. But in Langford's case, we are talking about a guy who still was one of the top guys, maybe, you know, in that right in that top tier in a class that had five guys who were considered elite. At that same time, the Rangers being able to take that guy where they did, fourth overall, in a year that they end up winning the World Series, this is the kind of dream scenario, because you don't often see a team add a potential cornerstone piece who's there right away. I mean, again, this is an almost, it's not an unprecedented, but it is one of the fastest debuts we've seen in draft history, really. To see it like that, to see it all happen like this for a team that should be battling for the AL West crown and maybe, trying to defend their title. This is the kind of thing that doesn't happen very often, and it could really help take this franchise to another level, or at least keep them at the level that they're already at, because again, they are World Series champs.
And I bet from that draft class, there are some other jealous players, because Paul Skeens has a ton of talent and probably could pitch in the big leagues right now. Could probably make a case for Dylan Cruz too, Carlos, but Wyatt actually gets picked, like JJ mentioned, by a team that needs him right now. And I think the Rangers are good at being aggressive. Obviously, they just won the World Series title for their pitching aggression, how many guys that they've signed and picked up. And of course, the signings of Corey Seager and Marcus Semien in the past. But does Wyatt Langford kind of set a standard here that if you're really good in college and you breeze through the minor leagues in a short span and you're joining a team that wants to compete for a playoff spot, why wait?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're seeing a lot of teams push players quicker. And Wyatt Langford, I think it was really a case of all the players at the top of the 2023 draft class were ready to move and ready to move quickly. And it was just landing spot, like you mentioned. Which team is going to draft you that's ready to win now, and which team is further away? Because I think any of these guys, if they were picked four, they'd be pushed pretty aggressively at this point. And Wyatt Langford is the beneficiary of that. And the Rangers will probably be the beneficiary of Wyatt Langford really quickly here.
Welcome to the bigs, Wyatt Langford. Can't wait to see what he's got. And if you're looking for more prospect profiles, the Baseball America YouTube channel is the spot. Make sure you subscribe and we'll see you for the next one. All right, he's rich. Now he's a big leaguer and he's one of the youngest big leaguers in the sport. Jackson Chourio with the Milwaukee Brewers makes the big league roster for opening day. It's time for a BA prospect profile. JJ Cooper and Carlos Collazo from Baseball America to break down Jackson Chourio. So JJ Cooper, he is already a rich man, and he will be, hopefully, the face of the Milwaukee Brewers as soon as possible. When could that be? When do you see Jackson Chourio standing out and leading this team? Could he be Rookie of the Year?
Absolutely, he could be Rookie of the Year, although I do think that there will be a little bit of an adjustment period. This is a player who has not had a whole lot of time at the upper level. It spent a lot of last year. It spent last year mainly at AA, but half that year was with that crazy tacky ball, and he had a little bit of trouble with that. It was a lot better after that. But if you told me that Chourio's first month or two, there's some adjustments to the big leagues, the speed plays, the defense plays, the power plays every now and then, but maybe he has chases a little bit too much, things like that, I wouldn't be shocked at all to see kind of a season much like what Gunnar Henderson showed last year, where the second half of the season was way better than the first half. And in Chourio's case, I think that you're going to see a lot more of what Chourio can do as we get further into this season, obviously seasons to come, which we do have to remember. He is now one of the youngest big league debuts that we have seen in years. Players do not normally come up at this age, but when they do, usually they're stars.
Yeah, and he has the tools to be an absolute star. You mentioned the approach, JJ, the chase rate he's shown has maybe been a little bit higher than you'd like to see. But when you look at the collection of tools that he has, I think you can live with that for a little as he adjusts. He's going to be just 20 years old. I think he has a chance for double plus power, that 70 grade raw power. The max exit velocity numbers that he's shown at his age is comparable with people 3, 4, 5 years in front of him. They're some of the best exit velocities you'll see. I think he's going to be an impactful runner on the bases in this new major league system we have where steals are back. He's going to be a guy that's taking a bunch of bases. So the power speed threat, it wouldn't be shocking at all to see him be a 30-30 player at some point in the future. He's also a dynamic defender. The Brewers have a number of really talented outfielders, so it'll be interesting where he plays. We think he can be a plus defender in center field. If he's playing left or right field, he's going to be a really impact defender at either of those corners with the power to profile, with the speed to just be an exciting, really fun player to see. And just seeing the tools that he's had at this age and what he's done in the minors, I can't wait to see what he does in the big leagues.
You know, of course, he gets paid before he ever gets into a major league game and only had 6 games above double A at the point that he signs this extension in the offseason entering 2024. 8 years, $82 million, and there's 2 club options tacked on to the end of that. So I think, Carlos, this could be their Ronald Acuna Jr. deal, right? Ronald Acuna Jr. is a bargain in Major League Baseball. He's probably worth like $50 million a season based on how our game plays. And he signed for 8 years, 100, you know, with options on top of that. So it seems like he's on a similar plan here, Jackson, if he kind of fulfills everything you're talking about.
Yeah, and I really don't think that's a crazy comp, as crazy as it might seem to compare anyone to Ronald Acuna Jr. with how good he's been. But in terms of the athleticism, in terms of what he's done at a young age, the deal he signed early on, really the hit tool, like how quickly can he adjust to major league pitching? That'll be a question. I think he has all the tools, the bat speed, the adjustments that he's shown in the minor league level to be a plus hitter. But maybe there are some other players that you'd feel more confident can adjust immediately. I'm not sure how much of a concern that should be for you as a Brewers fan or the Brewers in general, because he's also one of those players where even if he doesn't reach the expectations that we have for him offensively, he can fall back on the power that he has. He can fall back on being a great defensive player. He can just do so many things on the diamond that he doesn't necessarily have to max out the pure hit tool, although we're still pretty high on that. I think he has a case for the top prospect in baseball. We had him number 2 entering the season, but there were some people on our staff who thought he had a pretty compelling case to top another talented Jackson, Jackson Holliday.
And the thing that also jumps out with that to me is what Carlos said. I love Acuna kind of as not a direct comp. I think Acuna is a little bit more physical, but where we're talking about Jackson Chourio right now is much of the same of what we were talking about with Ronald Acuna Jr. when he was hitting the major leagues. The big question was going to be what that strikeout rate was going to be. Was it going to be 25% where, okay, that'll probably limit his batting average a little bit, but the power, the speed was going to play, or was it going to steadily get better? What we saw in Acuna's case is it just kept getting better and better and better to where now he's one of the toughest guys to strike out in addition to being one of the best players and everything else. He was able to do that because he reached the majors and at an age where most of his contemporaries are still far from the big leagues. Chourio's doing that even more so. These kind of guys often get better and better in the big leagues. And if Chourio kind of cleans that little bit up, which he saw some improvement of that even kind of in the second half of the season last year, if he keeps doing that, we're going to be talking about one of the best, if not the best player in baseball in the 2027, 2028, 2029 range.
And Carlos, it was fun to watch some of the highlights just now. I mean, one home run goes opposite field for miles. I saw the one before that where it looks like he basically fell and just fell into a long pulled home run. I mean, looks like he's going to be an entertaining player to watch too, because he kind of does things that most guys can't do, you know, even if they tried.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's just the kind of athlete that we're talking about. And as we talk about him compared to Acuña, I think it maybe is worth mentioning, I don't think you should expect an arm that Acuña Jr. has. That's maybe the one tool that is kind of fringy to average for him. But I think in terms of the ground he covers and the way that he's able to track balls in the outfield, how dynamic he is as a defender, I mean, this is a guy that we think should be a plus center fielder if he's playing the position. And so, again, I would expect just the defensive value he brings almost on day one is probably better than what Acuña Jr. is doing now outside of the arm. But he'll be fun to watch in the field. He'll be fun to watch on the bases. He'll be fun to watch in the batter's box. He'll probably be fun to watch cutting up in the dugout too after he's homered and is celebrating with his teammates. So he'll definitely be a guy you want to keep your eyes on.
So I want to spin this to the whole team then, JJ, because the Brewers had one of the worst farm systems not too long ago, and now they've had young talent coming through, and it's perfect timing because some of the talent that's been there for a while, led by some of their star starters, are not there for the 2024 season. So how do you size up the Brewers major league club and what's coming soon in the minor leagues for them? Because I think their fans want to know if they're going to go through some pain and suffering in the NL Central, or if they're going to kind of just smoothly slide from a pitching and defense team into maybe a little more offense for the first time in a while.
I got to give them credit. Like, we felt very good about their ability to develop pitching for a number of years, but they've also kind of added some bats here, Churio being the most important one, but guys like Tyler Black. There's a number of kind of inner Joy Ortiz who they added in the Corbin Burns trade. They've added some other pieces here. This is now what we view as one of the best farm systems in baseball right now. And the other thing that they keep being able to do, we saw this, I was out in Arizona for the spring breakout season, and with the Brewers, you just kind of wonder, okay, who's going to be the next guy that just shows up? And, oh, then Brett Witrowski comes out there, and you're like, okay, this guy was a 91, 92 mile an hour guy at Bryant not that long ago, and here he is, he's 98, 99. It's like, okay, the Brewers are doing it again. They are able to do that. I do think that they have a chance, especially in a division that doesn't have anyone running away from it, of kind of making that smooth transition, although injuries could trip them up and that kind of already hurt them. I know that Carlos has always been a big Garrett Mitchell fan, and it just seems like he can't stay healthy, which is a frustrating thing about this. But we get to see the Brewers a lot. They have their Class A club in Zebulon, North Carolina, right by us, based in North Carolina. So, and that kind of, I can't help but think of that when we're talking about Churio, because I'll never forget Josh Norris for us going out that first week to Zebulon to see the Carolina Mudcats and calling me and saying, I've seen the best player that I'll see all year. And this was basically 2 days into the season, and he was right.
Yeah, I really don't think Brewers fans are going to need to worry too much about the next wave. I think if the Orioles didn't exist, I would feel pretty confident about the Brewers having the number one farm system in the game entering the 2024 season. I think they do an excellent job of remaining competitive at the big league level while supplementing the farm system and developing both on the pitching and hitting side at this point. So they've got a wave of players. Jackson Churio is the top in the system, but I think it's a really deep and quality farm system on the hitting and the pitching sides at this stage.
I better see some excited Brewers fans in the comments right now. Let us know your thoughts about Churio and subscribe to the channel for more content like this. That's it for this Baseball America Prospect Profile.